Man, they say pictures are worth a thousand words, but the one I'm looking at right now is literally yelling at me. Like Cam Newton exclaimed after scoring his first touchdown back with his former team, the Panthers, "I'm back." Well, it's been a while, but this is something I've had in the works for some time now. If you follow me on Twitter, you can see that I'm very active, but now it's time to become more active on the podcast side of things. On today's episode, I'll be discussing my future plans for the show, the direction of my podcast, my thoughts on the college football playoff, and so much more. Sports news and action is taking place right now, so what do you guys say? Let's get this thing rolling. So, I mean, obviously, it's been a while since I put on a show, but it never really leaves my mind. Like, I'm always on Twitter, and I even posted on Pinterest regularly when I was really into this. So, running socials and having this brand, per se, never really leaves my mind, but I haven't brought myself to do an episode in a while, and I don't know why, but I do have some good reasons as to why I wouldn't have. I mean, one, I'm just really busy. I have two jobs, and I've gotten into coaching over the summer and through the fall. So, I mean, that was a lot out of school. And I don't really have the equipment or a quality way to record audio. So, I mean, without the equipment, I can't put on a quality show per se. So, I think these are both like really reasonable reasons. But now I have found the time, and I think bringing this podcast back will be fun and beneficial to me. So, I mean, what have I been up to and really, like, what's next for the show? I mean, I work at a local news station and at my local YMCA. The local YMCA, I've had this job since college, and I really just love both of them. I want to be in the broadcast industry, and I mean, clearly, I've taken a huge step in the door so far. So, I mean, it's a great start. And the Y, I mean, it's a great place to work. I get to talk to people all day. The people I work with are great, and they treat me so well. So, I mean, like, why leave? And it's just a little bit of some extra money in my pocket. And then in the fall and now going into spring, I'll be coaching high school lacrosse, and I am super pumped. Like, I mean, I'm walking into a terrific program with some great coaches, and shoot, we may even win a state title. And the fact that I'm saying this in December is just how confident I am. So anyways, I mean, I am busy. I got a lot on my plate, but I have found some free time throughout my days. So what does this mean for my podcast? Well, since I work in the mornings at the news station and I either coach or work in the evenings, right now and during the middle of the day, I typically have a bunch of free time, which now I want to put towards recording and releasing new episodes. And I want to try and do that on a weekly or a bi-weekly schedule. So now I get to do three different things that I enjoy, three separate things, but I enjoy them. I'm passionate about them and I love doing it. So why not? Why not go for it? I got all the time in the world, and I am pretty good at balancing my time, so I feel like this could definitely fit in. So let's do it. As for the show, I call myself D3 Plus, and looking back at some prior shows, I don't really talk much about Division III sports. Besides, like, the people I've brought on the shows or my own experiences, I really never cover Division III athletics. So, duh, I'm going to take a new direction. I will continue to cover the major sports and major sports stories. However, I am going to incorporate more and more D3 athletics into my shows. Wow, what a great idea. I know, I know. But that's that. And something that really jogged my memory or like got this thought in my head going was an interaction I had on Twitter. A new follower had followed me, and he sent me a message right away. And he said, D3 alum myself, I love this idea. And I said, well, of course, D3 lives and sports matters. And then we just got into a conversation. He played football. I played football. I also played lacrosse. He's a little bit older alumni. He graduated a few years before me. But I mean, it was a cool interaction. I was just like, wow. I mean, D3 athletics is the largest branch of the NCAA. There's so many D3 athletes and prior athletes as myself, and it's like, wow, why don't I talk about this more, you know? So that's the direction I'm gonna go. I'm gonna get on a more consistent schedule. I'm gonna incorporate D3 athletics into my shows. But as for my brand and the show as well, I've done a quick life update. I got a plan for the podcast, but really, what's gonna take the show to the next level is gonna be boosting my social media presence. I have that Twitter page, of course. I've just hit over 500 followers, so thanks again to all of you. I used to have a Pinterest page, which was kind of crazy because I would find like really cool sports images and post it on Pinterest, and I got a lot of like views and people saved them, so it's kind of cool to do that. But I really haven't been on there in a while, so boosting my socials will be huge for this show. So again, I'm going to try and commit to that schedule of recording and releasing shows on a pretty consistent basis. I'm going to continue to be active on Twitter, but I'm thinking, what about adding an Instagram page? I mean, I love Twitter because it's quick, it's easy to share info, and it's easy to join these kind of like community of sports fans. Like, I'm on NFL Twitter, NBA Twitter. There's some other like Division III pages out there. There's just like so much, and I'm part of these communities. But as for an Instagram page, it may be something I may enjoy doing, and it's a better way to promote my podcast, share more information, get those repost photos and information and sports news. So maybe that's a direction I want to go. And also, if you're a big podcast fan nowadays, you probably realize that a lot of the shows are streamed and recorded nowadays. So I was thinking either a Twitch or a YouTube channel may be a good idea. I mean, even the Pat McAfee show, he's got a whole studio set up. His thing is on YouTube, but like he also has a Sirius XM channel. So I mean, good for Pat McAfee. But like, I mean, any podcast now, like you can find them on TikTok. They show clips on Instagram. I mean, they record their entire shows and interactions and put them on YouTube. So I mean, that may be farther down the line. I'll need a camera and some better equipment and a better setup. But I mean, that's an idea. But it may be just further down the road. But for now, those are my plans. So let's talk some sports, shall we? Let's go. All right, up first on the show, we're talking college sports, of course, but as much as I am a football fan, I'm a big hoops fan, and college hoops, it's kicked off. We saw the tournaments over Thanksgiving. They've been at it for a few weeks, so, and we've already seen some huge upsets, some big games, so why not take a look at this week's top 25? So, I mean, last week in college hoops was a big one. So, not only did Alabama have a huge upset on the football field, that same night, Alabama, who at the time was ranked number 16, upset number 3 Gonzaga. And now Alabama has jumped into the top 10 of this week's rankings. And earlier that week, on Tuesday, in the Big Ten ACC Classic, the Ohio State Buckeyes knocked off, at that time, the number 1 Duke Blue Devils. So we saw some huge upsets, an exciting week in college hoops. Looking at this article on ESPN, I mean, the coach of the week was Steve Forbes from Wake Forest. We talked about those upsets. The team of the week, of course, was Alabama because that one came out of nowhere. So Alabama doing it on the field and off the court last Saturday. But the real story of this week's ranking is that the Purdue Boilermakers are now the number one team in the men's college basketball poll for the first time ever. They were a excuse me, they were a unanimous number one in this week's poll. And they just, I mean, they made one jump. They were already ranked number two, but with Duke, Gonzaga, and UCLA all losing earlier this year, yeah, there's no doubt that Purdue was going to be number one. So it goes Purdue, number one, of course. Baylor moves into the number two spot. Duke at three, UCLA at four, and Gonzaga fell to five to round out the top five. And I mean, looking at this list, it's a pretty good list. I mean, rounding out the top 25, it goes Florida. Ohio State moves into the top 25 after knocking off Duke. Wisconsin right behind them at 22. Seton Hall, BYU, and LSU round out the top 25. But there are some great talent, not only in the top 10, but like also in the middle of the rankings. And something that really surprised me was that there is a bunch of SEC and Big 12 schools. I mean, I counted yesterday. I think there's like 9 SEC schools, 6 Big 12 schools, and then you get like the few Pac-12. You get like BYU and Gonzaga in there, and then of course the Big 10 teams. And you think basketball, you're thinking Big 10 ACC. They dominate basketball just like the SEC and other conferences dominate college football. It's typically ACC and Big 10 teams, and then you get the teams like Gonzaga, Seton Hall, like the smaller teams in college basketball more so than football. However, the recent surge of teams down south, and especially in the southeast, is just astonishing. Let me retake a look at this list, but I mean, for the SEC, there is, well, I guess if you count Texas already, but of course, Alabama, number 9, and Kentucky at 10. Then there's Arkansas and Tennessee at 12 and 13. You got Auburn at 18, Florida at 20. I mean, that's a handful of teams right there, and we only got to 20. You're talking Big 12. Of course, Baylor won the championship last year, so there's Baylor, there's Texas, Iowa State, all these teams like down south. And, of course, you get the Big Ten teams. There's Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Of course, Purdue is the number one. But, I mean, I was very – that's, like, the thing that stands out to me is how the recent surge of SEC basketball and how they have really flooded the top 25 ranks. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, we got to talk D3 hoops. However, this was a lot harder. I mean, clearly college basketball is all over the place. They get rankings every week. People talk about it all the time. But for Division III hoops, it was kind of hard, kind of tough to find updated stats and rankings. However, I was able to find the preseason rankings from d3hoops.com. And what really stood out to me is that there is talent everywhere. And I mean everywhere. You're talking Midwest, East, down South, out West, of course. I mean, there is teams and talent everywhere. But of course, a lot of that talent in the Midwest, like there's Illinois Wesleyan, who came at the preseason number 4, UW Platteville at 5, Wheaton, Illinois at 6, Trine from Indiana in 7, Elmhurst College in Illinois 10, and you get UW La Crosse, Dubuque in Iowa, UW Oshkosh at 17, of course, another UW school, Mount Union, and all these teams. So, like, the Midwest, much so like in football, really dominating these preseason polls, but, like, there's talent everywhere. Randolph-Macon down in Southeast. You have St. Joseph in Connecticut. There's Tufts, Mary Hardin, Baylor. Emory's out there. Johns Hopkins, of course, out in Maryland. Roanoke College, New Jersey City. I mean, a lot of this, well, actually, going through this list, I retract my statement. There's talent out east and in the Midwest. However, there seems to be a huge concentration of Division III teams in the Midwest and out east. But, I mean, there's a quick look at the D3 preseason poll. I know Hoops has already kicked off. They're about 2 or 3 weeks into it now. They're out of Thanksgiving break, almost to finals, and then teams probably will play a tournament or a few games over winter break. But yeah, nothing major at the end of the month and early January here for Division III hoops. But what I really want to talk about, of course, I'm a big hoops fan, but we got to turn it over to college football now. The championship games from this weekend have concluded, the bowl season upon us, and now it's time to wait on the Heisman finalists. So who will be the Heisman? I mean, we literally have no clue. The finalists were just announced, 3 quarterbacks and 1 defensive player, that one defensive player being Hutchinson from Michigan. That man's an animal, but I'll tell you one reason why he won't win it. And this is crazy to me. A while ago, I saw Ndamukong Suh's stats when he was back at Nebraska in 08 and 09. I think Mark Ingram won the Heisman that year. Ndamukong Suh alone had more tackles for loss, more sacks, and more just overall tackles than teams combined. He himself was a one-man wrecking crew at Nebraska. And, I mean, I've looked at Hutchinson since. That man is a beast. When they played Big Ten, or when they played Ohio State the week, 2 weeks ago, he had 3 sacks and numerous pressures along with a handful of tackles. Like, the man's great. Is he Heisman caliber? Like, is he Charles Woodson? Is he at that Ndamukong Suh level? No, I don't think so. So, like, it's so hard to win the Heisman as a defensive player because the defense is literally a true unit. Like, you might have these studs on offense, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. These are guys that always have the ball in their hands, and they're going to score. They're going to put up stats. It's so hard to be a defensive player and win the Heisman just because you, as a defense, you got to work as a unit and rely on each other. You all have a role and a certain job on each and every play. And if you don't execute your role or your job on that specific play, you're going to get hurt. You're gonna get burned. You're gonna give up touchdowns. So, I mean, it's just hard to win the Heisman Defensive Player as that. I mean, it's most likely it's gonna be a quarterback. I mean, clearly three of the top four are QBs, and the reason quarterbacks get MVPs and Heisman is because they always got the ball. They're the ones running the ship. They're innate captains, but like they always have the ball. They're gonna put up big stats, and they can be catalysts of a team, unless you're Mac Jones, who last night threw the ball a total of three times and the Patriots still won. But we're not going to talk about that right now. Who's going to win the Heisman? I don't know. You guys tell me. Clearly, no one knows. Voting is going on this week, and we're just going to have to wait and see. The Heisman Trophy presentation and all the other awards come out on the 11th, so about 4 days away from that. As for the college football playoff championship, I am shocked. I mean, I know I'm just releasing this episode now, but I had a whole show planned out where I was gonna bash Alabama for their performance against Auburn and how I thought they shouldn't even been in the top five after seeing that Auburn had them on the ropes with their injured backup quarterback. Man, I was livid, and if you do follow me on Twitter, you saw my tweets. I don't even think they should have been in the top four after last week, but I mean, what they did to Georgia was just pure and utter dominance. So I'm not surprised that they're number one this week. What also really shocked me, it was Michigan's run and dominance to end the season. Everyone, they hadn't beaten Ohio State in what, like eight tries? Harbaugh has never beaten Ohio State. And they come out there and they dominated the Buckeyes. They beat them by two scores, like two scores against a rival team. I mean, they dominate them. And I am just so happy for Michigan. I'm happy for Harbaugh. They finally won the big one. They did it at home, and of course, that propelled them to the Big Ten championship. And I said they dominated Ohio State. If you guys watch this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if you turned it off at halftime. They beat Iowa 42-3 in the Big Ten championship game. Get out of here! Like it wasn't even a game. Michigan was just rolling them. Iowa's defense played their hearts out. They just had no answer for Michigan's offense. And of course, Iowa has no offense. So I mean, that was evident. But I mean, Michigan's dominance to end the season, that's that they got momentum going into this college football champion playoff. They're coming in at number two. They'll take on number three, Georgia, in a few weeks. So yeah. I mean, the other shockers, we talked about Alabama just steamrolling Georgia. I mean, that game was all Alabama. I mean, not at the beginning. Georgia got up 10-0, and the fact that Alabama in the second quarter just like, yeah, we let them have a lead. It's our time now. They scored. They had two huge plays. They had a pick six. I mean, the momentum from the second quarter on was all them. But the other thing was that the other shocker, if you saw this one, this was exciting. Oklahoma State coming up literally, I mean literally an inch short. They talk about football being a game of inches, and I mean, we see stuff like that, and it just becomes true. They literally came up an inch short. Oh, I got ahead of schedule here. Hold on, we're gonna revert back to Alabama and Georgia. So the reason I was so shocked is because everyone's talking about Georgia's defense, Georgia this, Georgia that. Georgia entered that game not allowing more than 17 points in a single game all season. And on average, they held opponents to less than 7 points and 360 yards per game. Bama put up 24 points and over 370 yards in offense in one half. In one half. It was crazy. They dominated them. And Georgia, again, had no answer for Bama. That one was all Bama. And of course, Saban and them, they proved the doubters wrong once again. And then, as I was getting to, that ending of the Oklahoma State game was crazy. I mean, Baylor was up two scores at the half, and Oklahoma State came out of the tunnel in that second half and shut them out. They shut them out, and I think they gave up maybe two or three first downs the entire second half. But of course, Baylor, of course, is really good. They gave up a few scores to Oklahoma State, and the game was within, I mean, just a few points, and it came down to the final play of the game. This may have been arguably one of the most exciting championship games of the weekend. Came down to the final play, a game-saving tackle at the goal line. It was a crazy ending, and man, it was a heartbreaker for Oklahoma State. But now with Bama dominating the Bulldogs and Oklahoma State out, that opened the door for undefeated Cincy. They secured the number four spot in the college football playoff. Cincinnati, the first group of five team to ever make the playoff, And this one comes with a heavy heart for some and some controversy because this comes 4 years later after UCF, University of Central Florida, the Golden Knights, they were denied a spot in the playoff after they beat two SEC teams and they were undefeated that season. This team was dominant. They won their championship game. Their conference escapes me. I have it on the tip of my tongue, but I mean, I think they won their championship game like 63 to 20 something. Like it wasn't even fair how good this UCF team was. They beat Auburn that year. They had beaten Florida that year, and then they played an SEC team in their bowl game, wiped the floor with them. And like, if you are a college football fan, you know they claimed themselves a national champion that year because they were undefeated and they were beating these SEC teams. They dominated their bowl game, so it's a self-proclaimed championship, but I mean, everyone still remembers how they were gypped of that playoff spot. But I'm happy for Cincinnati. If you don't root for Cincinnati in a few weeks, I mean, I think Bama will win, but I would really love to see Cincinnati win, and I'm happy that they made it in. So I mean, taking a look at those college football playoff games and other bowl games, of course you have the two college football playoff championship games. But I mean, other games to watch. Ohio State will take on Utah in the Rose Bowl. Central Florida, who I was just talking about, they'll take on the Gators. So a in-state rivalry there, good bowl game there. Michigan State gonna take on the ACC championship or champion Pitt in the Peach Bowl. Notre Dame, who finished the year, I think ranked 5 or 6, will take on Oklahoma State in the Fiesta Bowl. Baylor, Big 12 champion, taking on Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. And there's just so many others. I love bowl season. They play football on Tuesdays at like 11:30. I mean, it's winter break, so I mean, a lot of like fans can go. It's around the holiday season, but I mean, it's a great time. But yeah, no, I am excited for the bowl games. I'm rooting for Michigan and Cincinnati. I mean, we're going to see some top level play, and that's that. I mean, after taking a look at Division I football, it's time to bring in some D3 action. So, Division I football is the only football that has the bowl format. I mean, there may be some others in Division II and Division III, but the FCS, Division II and Division III all use a playoff format. And this past weekend in Division III, we saw some fantastic games, fantastic finishes, and even a little bit of controversy. I was following along on Twitter and Mount Union got taken down to the wire. There was some last second touchdowns and 2-point conversion. I mean, it was a crazy week. It was playoff football. There's snow. It was crazy. I mean, and this is some high level football. I mean, these are the top teams in the nation battling it out every weekend, traveling. I mean, it's a good time of the year for football in general. But after seeing some news on Twitter, it appears that one team was granted a home game as they move into the semifinals, but it's not the team people are expecting. The number four team in the nation, they basically get a home game this week, but the defending champs and number one North Central College has to hit the road. I mean, to me, that doesn't make any sense, and I see some fans are outraged about it or had something to say about it on social media. I mean, of course, this didn't get a lot of news because it is Division III football, but I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Why would the number four team get basically a home game, but the number one team has to travel a few states over to play their playoff game? I mean, like this maybe was the way it worked out in the end based on their playoff format, but it just didn't make any sense to me. But I mean, as we move into the semifinal round, I got the. All right, okay. Where was it? Oh, I'm talking about the bracket of Division III football. So, just like this goes for all D3 sports, I think in basketball, like lacrosse, hockey, all this, it's 32 teams in a playoff format. So you start in the round of 32, go to 16, 8 for a championship game. So this past weekend was basically the Elite Eight of Division III football playoffs. It saw number 4, Mount Union, take on number 15, Muhlenberg. Number 3, Whitewater, took on number 8, Central. Number 2, Mary Hardin Baylor, took on number 7, Linfield. And North Central, the defending champions, took on RPI. So, I mean, there was one game that was really exciting, and that was number 14, Mount Union, as number 15, Muhlenberger, took him to overtime. This game was neck and neck all the way. Good defense, some scoring here and there. But this one went into overtime with a last second touchdown by number 4, Mount Union. So they survive and advance. Any other games? I mean, can kind of come as a surprise, but not as a surprise to me. Number three, Whitewater. They took on number eight, Central, and Whitewater blew the doors off them. They beat them 51 to 21. Whitewater, I mean, this one was good in the first quarter. It was 14-13 Central lead, but then Whitewater just poured it on, shut them out in the second half. Central scored all 21 points in the first half, and finally Whitewater made the adjustments and shut them out in the second half and took this 30-point victory on to the semifinals. Mary Hart and Baylor, they had a huge second quarter and third quarter, which propelled them to a 49-24 victory over number seven Linfield. And then the other game of the day, North Central RPI. North Central beat them by 50, or 49 to be exact. It was 55 to 6. So, some surprises, not really much of a surprise. The top four teams moving on to the semifinal, it's not that surprising. So it'll be Mount Union, Whitewater, Mary Hart and Baylor, and North Central. I believe it's Central and Union will take place this weekend, and it'll be Whitewater and Mary Hart and Baylor. So 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, and then after that we move on to the championship game in 2 weeks. So it'll be exciting to keep following along. I'm really invested in this. I may even catch a game this weekend, so I'm really excited. I want to see who the championship matchup will be, and yeah, we'll have more on that. But that basically wraps up my college football rundown. We've covered some D3 action, a lot of top storylines. We got into some Division III football. So yeah, that's that. So, sticking on college sports, as you know, this past summer, the NCAA signed into place the Name, Image, and Likeness, or the NIL deal, meaning that college athletes can now make money or profit off of their name, image, or likeness in any way they see fit, whether it be social media or as we see athletes and even teams signing deals with companies. Like, I have seen bars and restaurants hire an entire football team or basketball team to promote their bar and restaurant, and then that team in turn will get free meals and some swag from the local establishments. But I mean, some of these NIL deals are huge, and I mean, there's even high school players signing shoe contracts and million-dollar deals. I don't know how all that works. I don't know how it. Because in high school, you are a true amateur athlete. Like, you're not even an adult. I don't even know how you can have an agent at the age of 17 or 16. But I mean, I've seen some players sign million-dollar deals and get their own shoe deals. So I don't know how that works. But we're going to talk about college sports and some NIL deals that I found really cool. At the end of November, so just a week ago, the moving company College Hunks, it's HUNKS, all caps, or College Hunks Hall and Junk, as you may see. They're just a moving company that was started by former college athletes who needed to make money over the summer. So they started their own business and it's taken off. But what they've done is that they have signed not only Miami quarterback De'Arik King, but they also signed the entire San Diego State football team. That was earlier this year. That was before the football season. But on November 29th, they made a, as Tom Van Haren for ESPN says, a big splash. They signed Howard University men's basketball team to an endorsement deal. Every single player on the team was part of this deal. And they are the first, I want to say the first HBCU school to sign a deal like this. So it's really cool. Check out the article. They talk about like the beginnings of College Hunks and how these guys were college athletes themselves, and they just needed a way to make money, and they didn't want to go home for the summer, and they decided to start their own moving brand, and it's kind of iconic, I would say. And this deal is iconic because Howard University basketball, HBCU, legend. I mean, it's a huge deal, and it really caught my attention. It's really cool. Howard men's basketball player Ty Bibb said his teammates and I are looking forward to partnering College Hunks to promote their amazing employment opportunities of frontline staff, their moving and hauling services for clients, as well as their franchise opportunities for aspiring business owners. I mean, like I said, like this could be huge because not only do these players get to, play college basketball, they get an endorsement deal, a way to a means to make money because it's almost impossible to have a job when you're a Division One athlete. But they also get to learn about how these guys started their own business. So it's really cool that they partnered up with them and they get to work exclusively together. And it's really cool because the owners of College Hunks, they grew up in the DC area, and they even like went to Howard University. They even like thought about attending Howard University. They went to different events like when they were on their college journey, like finding a college. So, I mean, this deal was really cool. And it's only the second or third endorsement deal overall that this company has signed. So I think it's really cool. The two owners of the company, they said our business started as an underdog with a beat up cargo van in college. So aligning with student athletes that historically haven't received large media attention is important for both of our brand's purposes. So I mean, this is a huge deal. I'm excited for me. It's really cool to see. On another end of the spectrum, if you haven't heard this name, I don't know where you've been for the last year, but Paige Buchers, or I guess Paige Buckets as she goes by, she is a freshman star for the UConn women's basketball team. She won freshman of the year, all conference honors, as well as the player of the year last year as a freshman. Unfortunately, she just got injured. I don't know the extent of her injury, but that's not the focus of this one. She's not the first female athlete to sign an NIL deal, but she's the first to sign large NIL deals. Her first one came with a company called StockX. They are a footwear and apparel marketplace platform. So she became a brand ambassador for them, and I believe she even signed a contract with them. So she's not only an ambassador, she's basically like a model for them. She'll be making money by wearing their products and posting on social media, of course. Like, so it is an ambassadorship, but she's making some really good money with them. And then also a teammate of hers, Ozzie Food, became an ambassador and equity partner with the sports drink BioSteel. So it's not only was her teammate an ambassador, but she even has a stake in this company, BioSteel. But I mean, we're talking sports drinks here. This is where I was going with this story. Paige Buchers is the first college athlete to sign an endorsement deal with Gatorade. Not just the first woman, not just the first basketball player, the first college athlete to sign with Gatorade. Oh man, that blew my mind, and I couldn't be more excited for her and where this is going for college athletes. I mean, we're talking Gatorade, like Gatorade Players of the Year. Like, Gatorade dominates the sports industry. I mean, yes, they do battle Powerade and Body Armor and like other drinks like that. But I mean, like, when you think of a sports drink, it's Gatorade. So it's insane that she was not only the first, like not even like just the first woman or first basketball player, she's the first athlete overall to sign this deal. And I mean, looking at all these deals, seeing all this, it kind of this is the only like this is what I miss about playing, because I feel that I could have done, I mean, clearly I'm not gonna get signed by Gatorade, but I feel like I could have done some minor NIL deals and became a brand ambassador. Or I mean, even like try to be TikTok famous or like boost my Instagram and become an ambassador that way, because technically you cannot be an ambassador or profit off of your social media. So I had a podcast about this. It was actually a school assignment. I never like published this, but it talked about NIL deals and how Jalen Hurts at the time when he was in college, he had like 600,000 followers. And I looked up the amount of money he would be paid, and it was ungodly, but he couldn't collect a dime of it because he was a college athlete. Because if he collected money based on who he was and off of social media, he would then lose, like forfeit his amateur status. And then so like he left college, gets drafted by the Eagles, and now they have the NIL deal. So like the amount of money he could have been making in college was unreal. But I mean, I've also seen pictures of this guy showing up to games in white suits and Gucci belts. So I don't know. But no, missing out on an NIL opportunity is big, because I do know some people at my alma mater who are like brand ambassadors now and like promote things on social media. So it's kind of like really cool to see. And I do still technically have eligibility left due to COVID. However, I did not have the funds to keep playing. I mean, I literally took two BS classes my senior year just to be a full-time student. And there's no way I could have extended my education and I like into my a fifth semester And there's, I certainly do not have the money and or time to pursue a master's degree and play two sports again. So, I mean, it was one of my toughest decisions in life, like just giving it up when I know I could still play. Like, I still feel I could play at a high level right now. I mean, I'm only a year, not even a year removed from sports, but I mean, it's just kind of like the feeling of missing out, you know? I mean, the missing out on playing, the missing out on an opportunity like this, because this opportunity came literally the summer after I graduated. And it's just like, wow, like I may have could have done something with this. I don't know. But that's that. I mean, before I get to this topic, I was going to talk about some huge MLB deals, but there's one I need to look up before I talk about it. But the switching gears to the NBA now, this is exciting. I say this is exciting because I mean, I am from the Chicago area, and Chicago sports, oh man, they aren't great right now. The Cubs had that fire sale in the summer. They just gave up everyone. I still don't know why they did that. The Bears are, yes, the Bears. The Blackhawks had a tough beginning to the season. Tough is the least I could say about their beginning of the season. But if you know anything about Chicago, they are known for basketball, and the Bulls are back, baby. The Bulls are back. I mean, this couldn't be more exciting. Not only are they a good team, they're exciting to watch. They are just throwing alley-oops to each other. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are knocking down clutch shots. They're beating good teams. They just beat the Nets a couple of days ago, and they just knocked off the Nuggets last night. I mean, this is a good, exciting team. So I want to take a look at the NBA power rankings and how they stack up to the rest of the league. I mean, if you do follow the NBA, the wow, I'm drawing a blank. The Suns were just on an 18-game win streak until they had a home-and-home series with the Warriors, and the Warriors finally beat them. And the Warriors and Suns are the top two teams in the East. Like I said, the Bulls knocked off the Nets. They're the top two teams in the East. So, I mean, let's take a look at the full breakdown. I mean, of course, the top two teams, it goes Warriors, Suns. They're both 19-4. They stay at their spots. They were both 1-2 last week. The Nets, who I just said lost to the Bulls, right, are ranked number 3, right in front of the Bulls. The Bulls last week were ranked at number 7. They're now number 4. I mean, I don't know how the Bulls can beat the Nets not just once, but multiple times and still be ranked behind them in power rankings. I don't understand. Like, I think the Bulls have beaten the Nets twice on the road this season already, which is incredible because the Nets have Kevin Durant and James Harden and a good team. And the Bulls have beat them twice already, and they're still behind them in the power rankings. Right behind them, the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks had a tough beginning to the season, but they started to figure out, and they were on a 5 or 6 game win streak, and they're now, I believe, like 16-9, 17-9 on the season. The Utah Jazz, they have been steady all year. The Miami Heat, they were really good at the beginning of the year. Like, they were like 8-1, 9-1. They're kind of sliding right now. They're 14-10, but they come in at number 7. The surprise to me, and both of these teams are surprises to me, the Washington Wizards are number 8 at 14-10. The Wizards, who, as we all know, didn't make it into the NBA playoffs last year until like the final week of this season. And then this comes as a surprise to me, but I mean, they're still working out their Ben Simmons issues, and that is the 76ers. They're 12-12. You think about the Sixers, who have been top 4 in the East the last couple years. They're 12-12. They're 500, which is kind of shocking. And then the Memphis Grizzlies, they're having a good year. Ja Morant, I am a huge fan. He came from a group of five, I guess a group of five basketball school, and he has just taken the league by storm. He not only abbed it up last year, he has taken his game to another level this year, and he's got the Grizzlies sitting at 10. And I guess I'll go one more team. This is a surprise too. The Celtics, who are really, really struggling. I mean, I guess their big three can't figure it out. They find themselves out of the top 10, sitting at 11, and they are 13-11 right now on the season currently. So that's a quick look at basketball. I mean, like, my whole point of this was that I'm a Chicago sports fan, and it's great to see that the Bulls are finally back at as a high caliber team. They're exciting to watch, and like, they're beating good teams. So I mean, it's good for them. Like, they beat the Knicks, they've beaten the Lakers, they've beaten the Nets a few times. I mean, they are really bringing some joy and some pride back to the city with what we've seen with the Cubs, the Bears, Blackhawks. Not to hate on Chicago sports, but I mean, like, that's just the truth of the matter. It's like they don't have good teams, and the Bulls were bad for a lot for the last few seasons. Like, it was tough to watch Bulls basketball. At one point, they were like, they didn't even win 20 games in a season, and to see them take the league by storm this year is incredible, and I'm happy to see them. But moving on to off the court and off the field and onto the diamond, just last week we saw some huge off-season deals for baseball. And I mean, if you guys don't understand how, like, so a lot of leagues are have a calorie, like, have a cap maximum, a cap space, and teams can't go over it. Well, baseball doesn't have one of those, and it's kind of crazy how this all works. But their off-season kicks off in December, so they had about 3 days to do stuff. And there are some huge signings. The Rangers boosted their middle infield with the signings of Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. And these guys signed huge contracts. Huge contracts, like 7 and 9 year, 7 and 10 year contracts. That's unheard of. In football, if a guy signs more than a 3 year deal, that's unreal. In basketball, if a guy signs more than like a 3 or 4 year deal, that's unreal. Baseball contracts, they're different. They're just different. They're 7 to 10 years worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's crazy. And the biggest surprise from all that was Max Scherzer left the Dodgers and signed with the Mets. And I mean, with DeGrom and Scherzer now, the Mets look unreal up front with pitching. And I mean, they had a good team before, but now they just get a second piece of their rotation, and they might be dangerous next season. And then other guys on the move, Starling Marte on the move, Eduardo Escobar, Marcana, and even the Tigers made some moves. The Tigers have been mediocre, to say the least, the last few seasons. They brought in Javier Baez and Eduardo Rodriguez. For my hometown Cubs, they took a guy from the Mets rotation in Marcus Stroman. And of course, everyone got a lot of love for it. The Cubs rotation needed a little bit of a boost. Stroman is a huge free agent signing. It is official. That one actually got in. Where I was going with this one is my girlfriend listens to this music artist named Mike. It's all lowercase and period, Mike period. And he was actually a pitcher at Duke. And he has these songs about his best friend going on to play in like the major leagues. And he's even a song where he like is attending a Mets game, and he finds his girl, blah blah blah. Like, good artist, good songs too. Only to find out that Marcus Stroman is the best friend he's been talking about this whole time. I don't know. It just blew my mind. Told my girlfriend that. She was like, "Cool." And I was like, "Okay, you're less excited about it than I am, even though you're the fan of Mike." But I don't know. I thought that was really cool. But where I'm going with all this. All these deals went crazy. These were some astronomical deals in terms of length and money. We saw Scherzer swap coasts again. I mean, we saw all this in about 24 hours, and then boom, next morning, MLB shuts down. Their offseason had just kicked off. We saw some big moves, and then the owners and GMs woke up one day and they're like, "Oh, we don't agree with the Players Association. Shut it down." And the MLB is now going into their first lockdown or shutdown, I guess, since 1994, which is kind of crazy. So I don't know. The last time I read about this, like, lockdown in 94, and we've also seen lockdowns in the NHL. The NHL had one about a decade ago, and that one, of course, shortened their season all the way up until January. And then they had the Winter Olympics. Like, their season really didn't kick off until February, like the middle of February, end of February. I think the NFL had a lockout 1 year, but I mean, the last time the MLB had a lockout, it was in 1994, and this one lasted all the way up until opening day or the scheduled opening day of that season. So they missed out on all spring training. The minor leagues didn't know what they were going to do. I think the season was pushed back, of course, because the players couldn't train, they couldn't practice, like their teams couldn't get together. So and then something I really saw funny on social media, all these MLB players, they changed their Twitter pictures and Instagram pictures to just blank avatars, kind of like a if you played video games, it's like a character unlocked, like they had no faces, it was just a black outline of a person. It was kind of funny. And that was in response to the lockout. So It'll be fun to see where this one goes and how it all pans out and what's next for the MLB. But yeah. Wow, it felt good to be back at it, and it feels good, so good to put in some work and get a show out there since I haven't been at it for so long. That's all the sports news I wanted to look at and cover today. As I mentioned in the beginning of this show, I'm going to strive and put on some quality shows, keep it on a consistent schedule. I was planning on trying to do 20 to 25-minute shows. Apparently, that is not going to work out because I have a lot to talk about. Maybe I'll just find some better things to talk about, more central things, but I mean, unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you all again for listening. Again, I'm going to try to put on episodes on a weekly or bi-weekly format, try to stay consistent. But again, thanks for staying tuned. Please give me a follow on Twitter to stay up on to stay up to date on all these recent sports news. Thanks again, and this has been another episode of D3 Plus.